Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we're going to be doing the seventh part in our nine-part series on the book of Hebrews. We'll start today by reading in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Abraham, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That's Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 is referred to as the Hall of Faith by folks who study the Bible. Chapter 11 mentions by name 15 heroes of the faith. It is a march down through the halls of time. And by the way, it has many references to Old Testament passages of Scripture. I went and looked at all of those, and they are just too numerous to include here. At the outset of this study in the book of Hebrews, I told people that they needed to be thoroughly familiar with the Old Testament to get a more complete understanding of the book of Hebrews. So Hebrews 11, again, mentions by name 15 heroes of the faith. It is a march down through the halls of time. The key verse in Hebrews 11 is verse 6, which states this: "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. In Hebrews chapter 11, we've got Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and all the unnamed heroes in verses 34 through 40. They are all there because they exercise faith. And here's what we're going to extract out of it. The exercise of faith will show you that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That would be verse 1 and also 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Faith will also get you a good report from God. That's in verses 2 and verses 39 of Hebrews 11. Faith will also help you to understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's Hebrews 11, verse 3, Romans 4, verse 17, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Faith will also help you to know and understand that God had already set up molecular science as the creation was taking place, because the things that are seen are made up of things not seen, including molecules, atoms, neutrons, protons, and electrons. That would be Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Faith will get you a witness that you are righteous. That's Hebrews 11, 4, and Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, and talking about Abel. Faith will also have you speaking from the grave. That's in Hebrews 11 verse 4 and Genesis chapter 4 verses 3 through 8, which is a reference again to Abel. Faith will have you pleasing God. That's verse 4 of Hebrews 11 and also Genesis chapter 5 verses 22 through 25, which is a reference to Enoch. Faith will also have you translated to higher ground. That's verse Hebrews 11 verse 5 and Genesis 5 verses 22 through 24. And we have a hymn that says, "Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." That is all about Enoch. And faith also will have you building an ark for the saving of your house and the saving of humanity. That's Hebrews 11, verse 7, and also Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 22. And, of course, that is Noah. Faith will also make you an heir of righteousness. That's Hebrews 11, verse 7, and Genesis 6, verses 13 through 22. Again, that is a reference to Noah. Faith will make you venture into the unknown wilderness of this world looking for that heavenly city, Jerusalem, whose builder and maker is God. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, and Genesis chapters 12 through 18. And of course, that is a reference to Abraham. Faith will also make you a mother of nations through the seed born from the miraculous quickening of the deadness of Sarah's womb. That would be Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And of course, that is references to Genesis chapters 17, 18, and 21, and also in Romans chapter 4, verse 9. And that is about Sarah. Faith will also have you forgetting where you come from while looking for a better heavenly country with a better city prepared of God. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 12 through 16. That is a reference to Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 through 19, and also a reference to Romans chapter 4, verses 16, 22. That is talking about Abraham. Here is the promise of Jesus concerning that place that was promised unto Abraham. John 14, verse 3 states this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Faith will also have you giving up your only son or only daughter by putting their lives into the hands of God. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. And of course, that's a reference to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And then after having given those children to God, if we would but take our hands off of our children, then God could, if they would allow it, put his hands upon them and mold and make them into the image of his dear son. That's Romans 8, verse 29. And by the way, that's exactly what Abraham done in Genesis chapter 22. Faith will also allow you to have enough to give a double blessing, one to the younger son, Jacob, and one to the eldest son, Esau. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20. And that is documented in Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 46. And in that, we're talking about Isaac. And then faith will have you worshiping God even in death. That's verse 21. That's about talking about Jacob there. And faith will also have you making plans to move your dead bones into the valley of dry bones until they be resurrected unto a glorious nation. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. And of course, that is talking about Joshua. Faith will also have you refusing exalted regal status, preferring rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, and that is talking about Moses. Faith will also have you forsaking the world, which is a type of it being Egypt, and in its place embracing the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's verses 26 and 27 of Hebrews chapter 11. And of course, that is talking about Moses. Faith will also have you looking to the blood of the Passover lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. That's Hebrews 11, verse 28. That Passover lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith will have you walking on dry ground in wet seabeds. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, and of course is a reference to the crossing of the Red Sea by the children of Israel. And then faith will have you walk around your walls of Jericho until God takes them down as if they had never been there. That'd be Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. And they leaving behind it a perfect foundation which to build on. That really is talking about the nation of Israel. Faith will also not have you perishing forever with those who believe not. You will not perish because of that scarlet thread representing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, and Joshua chapter 2, verse 18, and that being a reference to Rahab the harlot. And then faith will also allow you to use an army of 300 men to totally annihilate and utterly destroy an army of 120,000 men. That would be Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And of course, that's speaking about Gideon. Faith will have the sword of the Lord discomfiting your enemies. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And that is a discussion about Barak. Faith will also have you ripping apart a lion with your bare hands, slaying 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, ripping down the gates to a city and carrying them away on your shoulders, and pulling down the house upon yourself and your enemies. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. That speaks of Samson. Faith will also allow you to overcome being an illegitimate son of an harlot and rise up to become a great military general in Israel who killed 42,000 in one battle. That is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, and that is talking about Jephthah. And then faith will have you being declared a man after God's own heart and to be the greatest king in Israel's history. It will allow you to slay your Goliath. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And that, of course, is talking about King David. Faith will also have you being one of God's greatest prophets of all time. That is Hebrews 11, verse 32 again, and that is talking about the prophet Samuel. Faith will have you stop the mouth of lions. That is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. And that is a reference to Daniel, and that story is told in Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 through 28. Faith will have you walk through fires and not even get singed. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34. And that is a description of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and the Son of God. And that story is told in Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 30. Now, most folks remember Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were their pagan names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were their Jewish given names. And then faith will also have your children resurrected from the dead. That is Hebrews 11, verse 35, picturing the resurrection to everlasting life. And that equals the widow woman and Elijah that we see in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 24. See also the woman and Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 through 37. Have you ever thought about why certain famous biblical characters are not listed in Hebrews chapter 11? One example would be King Solomon. In Hebrews 11:37, it is stated that some were sawn asunder. Tradition has it that the prophet Isaiah was sawn asunder at the order of King Manasseh when he crawled inside of a hollow tree. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 38, we have a vivid description of incidents of torture and murder that had already taken place in the history of Israel, and they were but a foreshadowing of greater atrocities that were to come. Since the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christians and Jews have been the victims of Satan's endless, vile attempts to wipe them off the face of the earth. There have been over 50 million Christians tortured and brutally murdered at the bloody hands of the Roman Catholic harlot. That does not count the untold millions of Jews that have been tortured and murdered at the bloody hands of the Roman Catholic harlot. Add to that the untold millions of Christians and Jews that have been murdered and tortured at the hands of those peace-loving Muslims. The Muslims have killed over 270 million people in their practice of religious carnage. Many of those 270 million who were tortured and murdered at the hands of the Islamic devils were Hindus, Roman Catholics, and other pagans. Islam is the bloodiest religion on the face of the earth. We would be neglectful if we did not mention the Christians and Jews that have been tortured and murdered at the hands of the communists in the Soviet Union, China, and Cuba, and might I say, North Korea and Vietnam. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 is both a historical and prophetic statement concerning those who had not and would not recant their faith under the extreme pain and horrors of the torture that they experienced. Hebrews 11, verse 35 says, in part, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, they were given the opportunity to recant their faith and refused to do so. Rule by religious despots is about as ungodly as it gets. Let me repeat that. Rule by religious despots is about as ungodly as it gets. Much of what I have said here about the persecutions, murders, and other atrocities of the Catholics and the Protestant reformers, who I have not mentioned here, could be accused of gross understatement. It is a whole lot more ugly than what just a few sentences here can describe. If you do not believe it, read and study John Fox's work, The Acts and Monuments of the Christian Church, commonly known as Fox's Book of Martyrs. It is, to say the least, a monumental work totaling 5,574 pages. It is composed of 14 volumes. If you want to find out how wicked and vile, unsaved, professing Christian religious and political leaders can be, read and study it. Many of the persecuted Protestants that fled the persecutions of Europe brought their persecutions with them to America. That spirit of persecution precipitated a battle. Where they could, they set up state-run churches. Many of those churches used the power of the state to deny religious freedom to Christians who were not a part of their state-sponsored denomination. They also used the power of the state to persecute and jail those Christians outside the state-sponsored church denomination. The book America in Crimson Red by James R. Beller documents much of that sordid history here in America in its 607 pages. All of that said, here is the bottom line of it all. Nowhere, I repeat, nowhere in the New Testament does God sanction or authorize the use of force and violence as a weapon against someone who does not hold the same doctrinal or religious beliefs of those who would be the persecutors of Bible-believing Christians and Jews. In fact, here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 have to say about that issue. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. The Lord Jesus Christ had the following to say in John 16, verses 1 through 3, on the subject of persecution that is before us. Verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." So why are all these folks doing the persecution? It is fully stated by the Lord Jesus Christ, again, that he says, "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Again, that's John chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. At the bottom line, persecution and murder in the name of religion is at the heart of not knowing God the Father or God the Son. It is an issue of unbelief. The sordid and bloody history of Roman Catholicism has been one of murder and torture in the name of God. It is an ungodly religious system headed up by an unholy, holy father who is the vicar of Satan or the vicar of Satan. Islam thinks they do God a service when they kill Jews and Christians. Such is the nature of an Islamic theocratic kingdom ruled by wicked religious men who do not have a clue who the God of the Bible is. Islam and Roman Catholicism are the preeminent whores in Satan's Babylonian brothel. Today we have huge numbers of apostate and heretical Baptists and Protestants that have taken up residence in Satan's Babylonian brothel. In closing out Hebrews chapter 11, note the promises of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. After extolling the faith of the Old Testament saints, we are reminded that all those saints have not yet received the promise. Verse 40 says that those Old Testament saints cannot be made complete or cannot be made perfect without the addition of all those saved between the crucifixion and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 19. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 39 and 40 is yet another statement of that great truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has torn down that middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. That's referenced in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. "He hath made of twain one," and I say hallelujah to that. Next up, we're going to go through Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." That's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now, Hebrews 12, 1 is the home of the besetting sin. Down through the years, I've heard much speculation and teaching and preaching as to what that besetting sin is. Among the list of verses about which there has been much speculation Hebrews 12:1 would be joined by Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. I have had numerous questions over the years as to what the unpardonable sin is. A study of the entire context of Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 32 will show plainly that the unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So what is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? The context proves that it is given credit to the devil for the works that have been accomplished by God the Holy Ghost. We see all of that in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. So, what is the besetting sin of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1? The clue is in the wherefore of verse 1 of chapter 12. The wherefore refers back to all of Hebrews chapter 11. The great subject of Hebrews chapter 11 is faith. The phrase by faith occurs 17 times in Hebrews 11. The Holy Ghost cites 15 specific individuals by name and numerous unnamed people as examples of what faith ought to look like. With all of the examples of great faith that the Holy Ghost cited in chapter 11, we can discern that there was an issue with a lack of faith in these Hebrew Christians. They were beset by a lack of faith. Therefore, the besetting sin was and is unbelief, even for Christians of the day. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Its companion verse is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 states this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." That's Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 5:9 states this, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." That's Hebrews 5:9. And he that became author, folks, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, we would ask the question, what are they to obey? They are to obey the gospel. And we see that identified to that requirement in Romans chapter 10, verse 16. The act of obedience is not a work, as some would have you to believe. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 through 4, we have a statement of that which the Lord endured upon the cross. The contradiction of sinners against himself was the cup which he partook on the day of his crucifixion. That cup contained the contradiction of the sinners that was laid against the Lord Jesus Christ, and it also contained the wrath of God against sin. That contradiction was the sin of the sinner that was placed upon Christ at the cross. At Calvary, the contradiction of complete wickedness met the perfection of holiness, and the Lord Jesus Christ arose from it, having won complete victory over sin and the death that it conceives. The Lord Jesus Christ resisted unto blood at Calvary. Question for you. Since the Lord Jesus Christ resisted unto blood, is it an unreasonable request for you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God? That's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I think I can safely make this statement. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That is in Hebrews 12, verse 4. That is the ultimate sacrifice. Would you suffer temporal death in exchange for eternal life? Well, you do not have to, because the Lord Jesus Christ did it for you. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7 is quoted from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11 has one of the most quoted verses in it, and that verse is verse 8. Now let us quote that passage of scripture in context. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Now, when the Holy Ghost uses the word bastard in verse 8, it is a very strong warning to those who claim to be a child of God, and yet their wicked conduct never meets with a chastisement from the Lord. The Holy Ghost is saying that those who never meet with chastisement do not have God as their Father. When your conduct screams that you have not repented, then you are an illegitimate child, a great pretender, if you will. Religious unbelievers are always flying high in their sin. You will not see them come under the chastening hand of God. We have already quoted Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, probably several times, but here it is appropriate to quote it again. Titus chapter 1, verse 15, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." That's Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. The salvation they claim to have cannot keep them out of the bars, out of adulterous relationships, out of fornication, off the alcohol, off the marijuana and other drugs, off of pornographic internet sites, away from filthy television programs, away from ungodly music of all types, away from bitterness, cannot keep them in their Bibles, in fellowship with Christians, in church, and so forth. If you are an unsaved professing Christian, you will reach the point where your conduct will scream, "Hey, I am going to hell." Now we will read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 17. Verse 12, "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." That's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 17. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, the Holy Ghost makes application to these Hebrew Christians of both Isaiah chapter 35, verses 3 and 4, and also Proverbs 4, verses 23 through 27. Here's what those verses have to say. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. That's Isaiah chapter 35, verses 3 and 4. Now, here's what Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27 states. Verse 23, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 is a warning and an exhortation and an encouragement by the Holy Ghost to stand in the old paths. It is a warning against sin, compromise, and apostasy that has so plagued the Jewish people throughout their history. It has also been the greatest malady plaguing apostate and heretical Christianity. The Baptist byword for our age is compromise. In that sense, we Baptists are exactly like the Jewish people. These Hebrew Christians were well aware of the Old Testament warnings and consequences of going their own way against the Lord. One of the saddest commentaries on God's people in the Bible is given in Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. And here's what the Holy Ghost had to say. Jeremiah 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. That's Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. Would to God that we as God's people would yield to the work of the Holy Ghost in trying to keep us in the straight and narrow ways and paths where there is true peace. We as Christians would experience much greater joy if we would put on spiritual blinders that would keep us from looking to the right or to the left and having to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. The holiness of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 is an imputed holiness that can only come from that salvation that is only realized in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost makes an application of Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 10 through 29 to Esau in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. We will specifically quote verses 18 through 21 of Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verse 18, Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. That's Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 18 through 21. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 17 warns us that if you are an illegitimate child that claims to be saved, that you will eventually find yourself in the place of Esau, who sinned away his day of grace. Esau failed of the grace of God. Esau failed of the grace of God because he never put his faith in God. It was not that he was saved and then fell away. When the Holy Ghost said that Esau was a profane person, that means that Esau was an unsaved man. Esau sought repentance with tears, but it could not be found because the Holy Ghost was not in him. Neither would the Holy Ghost ever be in him. He was condemned to hell. He had been rejected and turned over to a reprobate mind. If you are under the sound of my voice today, and if you have rejected the conviction of the Holy Ghost over and over again, where will it end for you? I ask you that again. If you are under the sound of my voice today, and if you have rejected the conviction of the Holy Ghost over and over again, where will it end? Will it end at the great white throne judgment where the unsaved, death itself, and hell itself are cast into the lake of fire where they will burn forever and ever and ever and ever? A never-ending fire, folks. That's what's there. Isaiah 33:14 asks the question, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? Am I talking to you today, friend? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. If you sow unto hell, you're going to be reaped into hell and the lake of fire. The Apostle Paul also issued the following warning in Hebrews 10:26-27 and in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's Hebrews 10:26-27. Now 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8 state this, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. If you have any doubts about the reality of hell, I would encourage you to read, study, and meditate upon Revelation 20:11-15 and Luke 16:19-31, and do that again and again, letting those verses and the Holy Ghost rattle your spiritual cage. If you do not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin, you are going to die and go to hell, where you will burn forever. Is that what you want? Is it? Is that what you want? Will you be the one of those among us that dwells in the everlasting burnings? The doctrine of hell is mentioned 54 times in the King James Bible. When we include hell, the doctrine of eternal punishment is mentioned at least 88 times in the King James Bible. Are you ready for hell? The next time you start thinking hell is not real, why don't you turn on the largest burner on your kitchen stove, sit down on it, and meditate upon hell for a while? Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, that you would not go to hell? Folks, you can know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That is 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29, a contrast is set up between the events that took place at Mount Sinai in Exodus 19 and the coming events that will take place at Mount Zion, which is Zion, and the heavenly Jerusalem. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24, we have a huge gathering of angels and the saints of all ages. That gathering includes an innumerable company of angels, all of the born-again folks of the church age and all of the Old Testament saints who are just men made perfect. It includes all those groups. Those just men have been perfected or completed in their salvation by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 warns us that our God is a consuming fire. It is the third time that God has warned that he is a consuming fire. We see it in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3. Hebrews 12:26 is a reference to a prophetic event in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. That event in Haggai is another statement of the massive earthquakes that are prophesied of in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 13, Ezekiel 38, verses 19 and 20, and Joel chapter 2, verse 10. Those are all prophetic judgment events that take place during the tribulation. In relation to Mount Zion, see Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. As somewhat of a humorous sidebar, Hebrews 12:10 tells me my parents were deceiving me when they told me before they whipped me that it was going to hurt them more than me. I did not get spankings as a boy. I got whoopings. Hebrews 12:10 says that my parents did it after their own pleasure. That completes our study in Hebrews chapters 11 and 12 for today. In our next study, we will be discussing Hebrews chapter 13. I want to thank you for joining us today.